Today we're going to go into the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. If you open up your Bibles. Last week we started in chapter 1. I'm going to kind of recap a little bit what we looked at in chapter 1. But first let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again we do want to thank you for this time you've given us to go back, open up your Word and to look, Lord, at what you put in there for us to read and to learn. And Father, I pray this morning that those who are here and those who are going to listen to your words, that you will open up their ears, their eyes, their hearts to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring him into the truth, Lord, of your word. Only you can do that supernaturally, because your words are supernatural. And a natural man cannot understand them. It takes a supernatural God to open up for people to understand the supernatural words you've given us. Also, Father, I ask that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit once again to preach your word for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Last week's sermon was the focal point of God, Hebrews chapter 1. We looked at the disclosure that God spoke to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, which is Creator and Heir of all things. We looked at Jesus Christ was the exact representation of the character of God. We looked at the glory of the Son, Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn, which refers to rank and position, because He was not created. He is and was, still is, He's God. When He came to this earth in the incarnation, He was God the Son. In that chapter, we looked at the deity of Jesus Christ. He is called the Son, Lord, and God. By His divine works, one writer states, He creates, He sustains, He governs, I should say. He is a redeemer. He redeems. And He cleanses sin. He is to be worshipped by the angels because He is a creator. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent. He's omniscient, all-knowing. You see, in Hebrews chapter 1 we looked at how Christ is more superior than anyone or anything. That's what chapter 1 proclaimed. Chapter 2, we're going to look at today. The title of the sermon is the exhortation and warning. The exhortation and warning. Hebrews chapter 2. If you would follow along in your Bible, or on the screen here. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. For He has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He had left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I in the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, and that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. The exhortation here, verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 2. Once again, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Do not neglect the salvation God has provided through Jesus Christ, His Son. Respond to what you learn. You know enough about Jesus and His great salvation. Quit being hard-hearted and cry out to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and salvation. This has been the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles from the past generations to today. That's the exhortation I want to give you this morning. Do not neglect so great a salvation. You see, Jesus' exhortation, John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40. John 5, 39 through 40. It says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. Over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 30. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the Great Commission of Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So this exhortation of Christ Himself is to find salvation in Him alone. Peter's exhortation, Acts chapter 2, verse 29 or 22 through 39. This is Peter's exhortation on the day of Pentecost. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. It says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has swore with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul would not be left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Peter's exhortation at the day of Pentecost. Also, Peter addressing the Sanhedrin, the supreme council and tribunal of the Jews, headed up by the high priest. Okay? Acts 4, verse 5 through 12. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, and which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, this exhortation of Peter to the elders, to the Sanhedrin, to the children of Israel, is that there is salvation in no other. No other name has been given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. That's the exhortation. Let's look at Stephen. Stephen's exhortation to the high priest and Jewish leaders. You see, they were rejecting God just as their ancestors. Because in verse 51 through 60, after Stephen recounts the history of Israel, he says in verse 51 of Acts 7, he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. It says, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul, which we know was Paul after his conversion. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. See, even through this exhortation of Stephen, he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now let's go to Paul, which we know was a young man named Saul when Stephen was stoned there. Paul's exhortation to Israel, Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 17. This is after his conversion, his salvation in Christ. If you want to look at his conversion, it's in Acts chapter 9, the Damascus Road conversion, where Jesus Christ confronted Saul and saved Saul, which is now Paul the Apostle. Romans chapter 10, Paul's exhortation to Israel. It says, brethren, Romans 10, verse 1, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, Paul's exhortation is preach the word, right? And he says in 2 Timothy 4, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see what Paul says to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, I made myself a servant to all, he says, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Here in the study Bible, make a great comment here on serving all men. So I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. You see, Paul the Apostle put his ministry of the gospel above his personal desires. He was willing to conform to the customs of other peoples, whether Jew or Gentile, in order to bring them to Christ. For example, in order to relate to the Jews in Jerusalem, he made a Nazarite vow. Around those who were under the law, the Jews, Paul obeyed the law. Around those who were outside the law, the Gentiles, Paul did not observe Jewish customs. Paul clarified this, however, lest anyone misunderstand his actions. He says he obeyed God's law through obedience towards Christ. He did not go against God's law. He did not go against Christ. He obeyed, was obedient to God's law toward Christ. You see, his exhortation, as the writer of chapter 2 of Hebrews, he says, do not neglect the salvation God has provided to Jesus Christ. He says, as we looked at, he says, respond. Respond to what you have learned. Once again, you know enough about Jesus Christ and His salvation He's provided. Don't become hard-hearted. You need to cry out to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins and salvation in Him and Him alone. You see, we looked at this was the proclamation of Jesus Himself. We looked at this was a proclamation of the apostles for past generations as it is today. That's the exhortation. Now, the warning. Back to Hebrews chapter 2. The warning. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 3 and 4. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? It says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Point to ponder here. Scripture indicates, we're going to look at, there will be degrees of punishment for the unbeliever, for those who reject Christ. I want to go with you with some insights. As we said last week, we're going to look at these from Pastor John MacArthur. It says, this warning, to whom is a warning directed? Because it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It cannot be to Christians. Once again, it cannot be to Christians because they can never be in danger of neglecting salvation in the sense of not receiving it since they already have it. They can neglect, though, growth and discipleship, but they cannot neglect salvation. Nor can the warning be to those who have never heard the gospel because they cannot neglect what they do not even know exists. So, the warning must therefore be directed to non-Christians, specifically Jews, who are intellectually convinced of the gospel, but who fails to receive it for themselves. But, he says, if the warning is to unbelievers, why does the writer speak of we and us? Does he include himself among the intellectually convinced but uncommitted? Is the author saying that he himself is not a Christian? No. The us is the us of nationality, or of all those who have heard the truth. You see, the author's willingness to identify himself with his readers does not mean he is in the same spiritual condition as they are. It seems simply, he seems simply to be saying, all of us who have heard the gospel ought to accept it. We meet people all the time who say, yes, I believe that Christ is the Savior and that I need Him, but I'm not ready to make the commitment. They come to church and they hear and hear the Word of God. They know it's true and they know they need it, but they are not willing to commit themselves and personally accept Jesus Christ. They have all the facts, but will not make the commitment. We believe this warning is to those who have heard the gospel, know the facts about Jesus Christ, know that He died for them, know that He desires to forgive their sins, that He can give them a new life, but are not willing to confess Him as Lord and Savior. This surely is the most tragic category of people in existence. You see, there are many such people today. They know the truth. They stand on the edge of the right decision, but they never make it. They just drift. And they are the ones to whom this passage in Hebrews is speaking. The purpose of these four verses, Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, is to give such persons a powerful shove, if you will, towards Jesus Christ. The message, of course, is not restricted to Jewish unbelievers. It is for anyone who is on the edge of a decision for Christ, but who, because of self-will, sin, fear of persecution from family and friends, or any other reason, says no to Christ and continues to neglect Him as Lord and Savior. You see, he says, a man like this, a person like this, is a fool. A fool beyond fools. An eternal tragedy. Because when he neglects to decide for Jesus Christ, you think about it, there's no eternal hope. Let's look at the warning to the religious leaders on this. Warning to the religious leaders. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 40. About this, different levels of punishment. To those who reject Christ as Lord and Savior. Matthew 12, verse 38 to 40 says, then he said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. The text says, these will receive greater condemnation. These will receive greater condemnation. Those who know what God's Word says and still are leading people down the wrong way. These false teachers, they will receive greater condemnation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28-29 states, Hebrews 10, verse 28-29, says, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and assaulted a spirit of grace? Greater condemnation will come to them. And you might want to put a footnote there, because by which he was sanctified, this refers to Christ. Refers to Christ that he was set apart for God. You might write down John chapter 17, verse 19, where Jesus says, I am sanctified for God. I sanctify myself for God. Go read that, John 17, verse 19. Because anyone who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing in the soul of the Spirit of grace, of how much worse punishment will come upon him? Let's go back. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 20 through 24. Matthew 11, verse 20 through 24. Once again, we're looking from Hebrews chapter 2 about the warning of those who neglect so great a salvation. And we're going to use another text of Scripture to look at these different levels of the punishment that's going to come upon people for rejecting that. Matthew 11, verse 20 through 24. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. We know, if you look at Matthew chapter 11, that it's the Lord Himself talking here. He says, "Woe to these cities." Verse 21 of Matthew 11. He says, "Woe to you, Chorazin." He says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, who will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would remain until this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 11. Mark 6, verse 7 through 11. "And he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, 'In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart from there,' he says, 'shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against him. Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.'" You see, this warning, people who reject Christ and His gospel will suffer more divine judgment than these two Old Testament cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you know the story, and most people don't know it, that were destroyed with fire and brimstone by Almighty God. What a warning. If you neglect so great a salvation, that you will suffer at the hands of a mighty God. Let's conclude. Back to Hebrews chapter 2. I want to finish up with verse 5 through 18. Verses 5 through 18. "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. That one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both which he sanctifies, and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your brethren, your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children of whom God has given me. Verse 14. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. As we close here this morning, that focus text I want to look at is verse 10. For it is fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, in his divine nature, Christ was already perfect. However, this writer states his human nature was perfected through obedience. Obedience including suffering in order that he might be an understanding high priest. An example for me and you believers, true believers in him, and establish the perfect righteousness, that way that righteousness can be imputed to believers. That's why, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 25, it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable to God. Or before God. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor is deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So our exhortation, once again, and the warning, we can sum it up this way, as I read in the opening. Do not neglect the salvation that Almighty God has provided for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. You need to respond to what you have learned, what you have heard, what you know that's in the Bible. You know enough about Jesus Christ and this great salvation that He has provided for those who come to Him. Quit being hard-hearted and cry out to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and salvation. You see, this was the proclamation of the Lord Jesus and the proclamation of the apostles, and it should be the proclamation of me and you today. Let's pray. Father, once again, as we close this morning, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, that you have provided for us that we can read and proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. Father, for those who's going to listen to this CD, I ask it, if they don't know who Jesus Christ is, that you will provide that for them, that as they listen to your word, which is read, which is proclaimed about your Son, that you'll open up their eyes, soften their hearts, give them the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Savior of the world. He is the only begotten Son. There is no salvation except through Jesus Christ. Bring him into the truth of that. Do not let him get caught up in tradition and into their religion that will lead them to hell. Bring him into the truth of what the true religion is, the true salvation is. As Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I ask that you'll grant them that. Also, I pray, Father, for those, us believers, help us to never be ashamed of our salvation. Help us through your Holy Spirit to live a life pleasing to you. As we go through this Christian walk, this sanctification process, help us to put ourselves in situations that we are exposed to the gospel, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching of your word, the studying of your word, the meditation of your word. Help us. Keep us hungry for that. But we want it to be for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen.